The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
It turned out that the lady was for turning after all. Liz Truss reversed the proposed scrapping of the 45p rate of income tax just 10 days after it was announced in the mini-budget by her Chancellor, Kwasi Kwarteng, who's been nicknamed Kamikwazi. Alistair Campbell, writer, communicator, diarist and co-host with Rory Stewart of the Rest Is Politics podcast, joins me now. Alistair, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Are you surprised they did this? Because I know 10 days might seem a long time in politics, but they have reacted swiftly to the reaction to it.
Well, you say it's swift, but this sort of furore has been going on now for well over around a week. And as you said in the introduction there, even yesterday, she was absolutely adamant there was going to be no turning on this. And I think what's happened is that the Conservative Party conference, they've got the message from their MPs that they would struggle to get it through the House of Commons. So they've decided to put on the brakes. And I mean, I think it's just underlining that both she and Kamikwazi are utterly out of their depth. You know, she said yesterday that they hadn't prepared the ground very well. I think that's kind of that is a huge understatement. And I think what you've got two people here who have been around in politics for a fair while, but actually have never been tested to the extent that you get tested when you're in these two top jobs in government. And I think they're just being found very, very wanting.
Now, what Kwasi Kwarteng said this morning, it is clear that the abolition of the 45p tax rate has become a distraction from our overriding mission to tackle the challenges facing our country. As a result, I'm announcing we're not proceeding. Talk about trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Absolutely. And I mean, I listened to his interview on the BBC this morning. It was. For somebody who's been for a long time in the business of political communication, it was utterly stomach-churning to listen to this guy, even now pretending that there was a kind of shred of competence and a shred of strategy to what they were saying. And I think we're now in a position where, you know, lots of the media keep saying this is a new government. This is a Tory party that's now been in power for 12 years. There is next to nothing about our country that you can say is better than it was 12 years ago. And I think we're in the kind of, you know, the fag end of a rotten, decaying government. And this last week under her leadership has just underlined that. They're divided, they're chaotic, they're incompetent, their values are all wrong. He still couldn't bring himself today to say that actually it was the wrong thing to do to cut the top rate of tax for these, you know, bankers and the like who are going to get their uncut bonus as well. So I think they're in a real mess, and I don't quite see how they get out of it.
Now, Kwasi Kwarteng, I don't know anything about the man. He seemed to come from nowhere, although you say he's been a long time in politics, certainly not in the forefront of public attention. But wining and dining with hedge fund managers is not a good look for a party that's supposed to be trying to help those at the lower end, you know, to lift their boat.
Well, what's extraordinary about this lot, in fact, I was talking to Pat McFadden, the Labour front bencher, who was there on the front bench in the House of Commons watching Kwarteng's statement and Truss alongside him. And he said it was like watching a couple of student politicians who've just suddenly been given the keys to a fast sports car. They have been around a while. And don't forget, Pat, that Kwarteng and Truss were two of the five authors of a book that was written in 2012 called Britannia Unchained, which was really about this kind of very right-wing, libertarian, low-tax, anti-regulation, anti-workers' rights, anti-any kind of rights, really. And that is the plan that they're now trying to put into practice. And what's happened in the last week is that that plan has, you know, come into contact with political reality, and they found that they may have to revisit it. But that is who they are, and that is what they believe. This is very, and Kwarteng, the other thing you have to remember about him is he is yet another bloody old Etonian who's far better educated than he is actually clever. I don't think he's very clever. I think he's politically very naive. And so I think they're going to find that they are going to run into the realities of politics and the realities of economics. And I think they'll be found wanting.
Now, the question of Liz Truss's survival, I mean, she has been demonstrated to have, you know, literally no political skills worth a damn at this stage, except perhaps in her wooing of the grassroots to get the job in the first place. But is she secure for the next year anyway?
I think it's very, very hard to answer that. I don't think she can do the job. As you say, the political skills are not very transparent if you judge it by the last week. But you have to recognise that she did have the political skills to become the leader of the Conservative Party, and therefore, because they're in power, the Prime Minister. Now, I think it'd be incredibly difficult for the Conservative Party to have another leadership election and to have another Prime Minister. That would be five Prime Ministers in 6 years. That would be utterly absurd. And I think the pressures then for a general election would be absolutely enormous. Now, they could technically do it. And the thing about the Conservatives, as Boris Johnson found, is that once they decide we have backed a loser, not a winner, they are utterly ruthless. And the other thing about being Prime Minister and being Chancellor, actually, you have a credibility bank and you have an authority bank and you have reserves in there. Your reserves are never higher than when you first take over. These two are already, I would argue, in deficit. They are credibility and authority. They have, so much of it is drained away. So I think it's very, very hard to see how she comes through this. And don't forget as well, you know, they'll be judging him. They've all been very cocky and confident that Keir Starmer's not really a campaigner and he's not really got charisma and all the stuff that they put out. But I think they'll be looking at Liz Truss and thinking, do you know what, her against Keir Starmer in a campaign is not going to go well. So I think her days are probably numbered.
Two, I suppose, technical questions. One is about the fiscal measure that has now been abandoned. If that had been defeated in the Commons, would that have precipitated a general election? Because in this jurisdiction, it you know, if a budget financial measure fails, it can precipitate the fall of the government. Would that have been the case in Westminster?
I think you'd have to have a subsequent vote of no confidence, and that would then, and it's entirely possible that people would vote against on a specific measure, but then vote for and vote motion of no confidence. But I think the fact you're even asking the question underlines the extent to which he's in quite a lot of trouble. You had interesting yesterday, Michael Gove was literally in the studio as she was speaking and gave his instant reaction that he wouldn't vote for it. Julian Smith, who's a former chief whip, was saying the same. Grant Shapps has been doing the rounds. You know, you have to remember the other thing about her is she didn't really have that much support from the parliamentary party when she was going for the leadership. So it's very unlikely that that's going to build from here, because the only thing that you can build from that with is credibility and delivery. Mm.
And we have to remember, of course, that the MPs did not want her, the Tory MPs. They wanted Rishi Sunak. So the other question is, are there the grey eminences, if any, are left in the Tory party who would metaphorically arrive with the bottle of whiskey and the pistol at her desk in number 10?
I don't think it works like that anymore. I think if you think about what happened to Boris Johnson, it really was the ministers and the MPs, and it was ultimately the big move was Rishi Sunak and Sajid Javid when they resigned from the cabinet. I don't think they have the same sort of men in grey suits type situation that they used to have. But the fact is, they will make a very, very ruthless, calculated judgment, and I suspect they're making it already. Mm.
Now, you know that old thing, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. She certainly abandoned that notion, because all of those who opposed her in the election for the job of Prime Minister or leadership of the Tory party, and therefore Prime Minister, were thrown to the wolves. So there are a lot of unhappy people out there who fancy themselves as being skilled politicians and who would do for her if they could.
Well, that was, you know, the other thing that showed both arrogance and naivety, that she literally cast to one side all of those, Rishi Sunak chief amongst them, who had opposed her in the leadership election. And I think this, I really do think there was a sense of hubris about this. She inhaled her own propaganda. She played this whole Margaret Thatcher tribute act, which seemed to go down well with the Tory party members. I mean, she's frankly not fit to polish Margaret Thatcher's handbag. And she's got into government and thought it should just carry on doing the same thing. Margaret Thatcher talked about low tax and low regulation. Let's do that. And meanwhile, she's done it as if she had an enormous amount of authority. She doesn't have that authority because a lot of those MPs, you could see it the minute that Kwarteng sat down from his statement the other day. You had the ones who'd been wound up by the whips, waving their order papers, what have you. I was looking to the left of Kwarteng, where the backbenchers, just kind of the ones who don't get programmed too much, just sit there. They were barely moving. And you could tell they were thinking, that is really not good politics. And they've all been back to their constituencies up in the Midlands and the north of England, and they've basically been hearing it from everybody, what on earth are you lot doing? And that has an effect. That leads to change.
Yeah, that line about her being the next Mrs. Thatcher or a reincarnation, it reminds me way back when Senator Lloyd Benson was debating with Dan Quayle, and Quayle was talking about himself in the light of John F. Kennedy. And Lloyd Benson looked at him and said, "Senator, you are no Jack Kennedy." Well, she is no Mrs. Thatcher. What about the return of Boris Johnson?
I've got no doubt at all that in his head he'll be thinking of that. I think it's a fantasy and a pipe dream. But, you know, the Conservative Party, frankly, is now so off the rails. It's so unhinged. It's so lost any sense of contact with reality. I think anything could happen. I'll tell you the other thing that I think is very interesting yesterday was that guy, Steve Baker, of course, is, you know, now a minister in Northern Ireland, which is just terrifying. And he comes out yesterday and starts apologising to the Irish and the European Union for the way they behaved during Brexit. Mm. I mean, this whole mess flows from what happened to the Conservative Party as a result of Brexit. And Liz Truss, she's utterly beholden to those people. She's absolutely a prisoner of the right. They now will be doubting that she has the guts to see things through, because actually this is part of the vision that they believe in. You know, slash taxes for the rich, slash regulations for business, and take away rights for the workers. That's what they believe in. And she's kind of blinked at the first confrontation.
Mm. Do you think there's any Brexit remorse setting in the Tory party?
I don't sense it from what they say publicly, but you very, very rarely hear of anybody who'll admit to voting Brexit these days. I was in an airport queue, an immigration queue at Lisbon Airport recently, and we were stuck in with everybody else from the other parts of the world as all the European Union people were going through, just putting their passports on the screen and going straight through. And I eventually lost my patience and I shouted out, "Did anybody here vote Brexit and wants to admit it?" And of course nobody did. So I think that I think there is but even within, you know, until the Labour Party understands that as part of its strategy for growth there has to be a pretty honest revisiting of our relations with the European Union, that is the big elephant in the room at the moment, and nobody's prepared to acknowledge its existence.
Alistair, thank you very much for joining us. Alistair Campbell there. One text I'll read out to you now from Ted. "The Conservative swapped one incompetent, untrustworthy second-hand car dealer for his female equivalent, while her Chancellor of the Exchequer, Kwasi Kwarteng, appears to have been simply dragged out of a university theoretical environment into the sunshine of reality and has been shown to be, along with his boss, utterly incapable and incompetent."
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.